The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning. Tune is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's radio's Gil Alexander, everybody, along with Kelly Bidlin.
Hey,
my little buddy, losing weight before our very eyes. How you doing?
Doing well. I have dropped a couple more pounds.
Are you slow jamming the show this morning? What's that drop down? I'm doing fantastic,
Gil. How about you?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm good. Yeah. We got a good show today. Matt Grissom, a little college baseball. Paul Sporer on professional baseball. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
Wes Reynolds will join us to talk golf. Is it the PGA Championship this week?
PGA Championship week.
Oh, yes,
it is.
Carl Sack on the NBA. Kelly and I will update May win totals in Major League Baseball. We will talk NBA here momentarily. We will talk NBA draft lottery. Oh, there's nothing I like more than the NBA draft lottery talk, because it serves as a great PSA for new bettors.
Yes, it does.
So we'll talk about that here coming up momentarily on the show. Let us begin with a couple tennis picks here first thing in the morning. I had four on the overnight. Again, for all VSiN subscribers, VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every play in every sport at VSiN.com/picks. So it pays to be a subscriber. Two are already in the bag. They split. Naomi Osaka lost in a third set tiebreaker, because of course she did, because nothing goes my way this year. And then Deanna Schneider won easily in straight sets. So we split those. What remains is one on the men's side, one on the ladies' side. If you want some action during the show today, Jaume Munar on the men's side, plus 119 against Sebastian Korda. That was the number got out last night. I will check on what that is right now. And then on the ladies' side, a little later on in the morning, this will be after the show, I believe, I am going for the flyer on Marta Kostyuk against the world number one, Aryna Sabalenka. Yeah, sure am. Kostyuk played her to two really tight sets the last time they played, or at least two very tight sets, and one that I think that went to a tiebreaker. I think she might take her down here. Plus 243 is not what this price ought to be. Sure, Sabalenka should be the favorite, but it should not be anywhere close to plus 243.
DraftKings has plus 225 currently on Kostyuk and plus 110 on Munar.
Yeah, Kostyuk, I would still play. Munar, I would not let it get to minus money. Let's put it that way. Anything below plus 105 is probably not a play anymore. Plus, that's, again, why it pays to be a subscriber, VSiN.com/picks for all subscriber picks throughout, again, the network, every sport by every host or guest listed there. Okay, to the National Basketball Association. And this weekend, Kelly, based on the absolute shenanigans that we witnessed last week in so many games, with teams coming back from 20-point deficits and last-second wins and the like, this was kind of tame by comparison this weekend. And we'll just go to yesterday's games. We have a 2-2 series now between the Thunder and the Nuggets. This could have been a very different conversation had this ended the other way.
Oh, boy. Yep.
Oh, boy, could it have been.
Huge quarter.
Huge quarter for OKC in the fourth. Denver was up in this game 71-63, a little more than 30 seconds into the fourth quarter. But a 14-2 OKC run put the Thunder up 77-73. They never would relinquish the lead after that. And the biggest sort of sequence, perhaps, Jokic missing two free throws, down 84-80, mm-hmm, with 3:25 left. That was big, as was Gordon going 1-for-2 from the line right after that, down 86-80. The spread was decided. The spread on this was 6.5. It was decided on an odd sequence. Went down 90-83 with 9 seconds left. Gordon made one of the he had three free throw attempts, right?
Yeah.
Tell me if I'm wrong. Gordon made one of the first two, and then a dual lane violation results in a jump ball.
Mm-hmm.
So 90-84. Remember, it's, well, it's 6.5 was the close, but depending on where you got this, right? So 90-84, Denver wins it. I suppose there was a scenario where OKC could have won it. Or if he had missed free throws, it'd gone the other way. But Nuggets lollygag a three. They win the jump. They lollygag a three with 2 seconds left. Gordon banks it in.
It's just incredible. I didn't have the Thunder side in this one specifically, because yeah, I've talked about Aaron Gordon killing me so many times. But, man, I'm sure there are some Thunder bettors out there where if you've bet Thunder the couple games I did where Gordon killed you, and then this one last night too, oh, my gosh, it's just wild.
huge. OKC, two free throws to wrap it up. Those were inconsequential to the spread as a result. So Denver ends up losing by five. That covers, but OKC wins it 2-2 back to OKC. The series goes, and the NBA Hardo Earth is returned to its axis, if you will, with that.
Yeah.
At least temporarily.
I think a little bit, Gil. I'm not feeling very comfortable. I'm not. It's 2-2. I got all kinds of Thunder tickets. I don't feel all that great. This is a game where, like, the Thunder defense has been awesome throughout the entire series. They are. The struggles are real for Nikola Jokic. The struggles are real for everybody else on the team as well. It's crazy. Like, Jokic can have bad games, and still you look at his stat line, it's like, oh, 27 points, 13 rebounds. Like, no, he still didn't have a great game. They're doing a great job of swarming him with defenders right now. But on the other side of the ball, Oklahoma City, it's a... Man, it's going to be really interesting, Gil, because we got report down this morning from Shams, too, of Giannis being open to going elsewhere. It's wild how much the next three games of this series could define the landscape of the NBA going forward. Because if the Thunder crew, let's say they go to a championship, they're not thinking twice about making a play for Giannis. They lose this series, I think they're thinking long and hard about making a play that overhauls and reshapes their entire team.
OKC, 10-point favorites in Game 5. 10-point favorites, Game 5, tomorrow night.
You know, we were sitting here Friday talking about that line with Cleveland, Indiana, right? The Cavs players end up playing in that game. It's amazing how much the zigzags being built into some of these games, right? We go back to OKC, and it's a 3-point difference from where we closed in this game before.
Yeah, speaking of the Cavs, that's where the NBA Earth did not return to its axis yesterday. Indiana just blitzkriegs the Cavs. Just absolutely destroys them from the outset. They lead that game by as many as 45 points. Do the Pacers? They led by 19 in the first quarter alone, and it just extended from there. They win by 40. Excuse me. They led by as many as 44. Pardon me, not 45. They win by 20, 129 to 109. A game that was never in doubt at any point. As Ernie Johnson said, a game only a mother could love. That's all it was. It was just a terrible watch. And Indiana takes a 3-1 lead over Cleveland. Game 4 in that series, a potential closeout back in Cleveland tomorrow night with the Cavs installed as a 7.5-point favorite. Now, the big issue here, though, is Donovan Mitchell hurt his ankle. We don't know exactly when, but he couldn't. At halftime, he tried to warm up, and he couldn't put any weight on that ankle.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I said this last week. For the Now, I guess the counter the Pacers can make at this point is, yeah, but when they had all of them for a half yesterday, we crushed them. Well, I don't know. Was Donovan Mitchell? I don't know when he got hurt. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we can even say that. If you're a Cavs fan, by the way, Cleve TA DM'd me at some point last week. I think it was after one of the 20-point comebacks. And he's like, we officially are like the torture kings. Like,
oh, it's incredible.
If you're a Cleveland Cavalier fan or a Golden State Warrior fan, this is just such a bitter pill to swallow, pardon me, and really especially for the Cavaliers.
Oh, totally. I mean, you could have easily made the argument that they're the best team in the NBA for large portions of the regular season. And just the injuries. It's difficult. I think we do a very good job of this, Gil. I like to think this, but let's hold two thoughts in our head at the same time, right? It's brutal. Cavs have had to play through these injury problems, and it's probably what's going to kill them. And guess what? Indiana's playing great ball.
Absolutely. And they play at a pace where if you're banged up, good God, God help you. 64-win Cavaliers on the brink, if you will, headed back to Cleveland tomorrow night. But they are. We're showing 6.5. I'm seeing some 7.5-point favorites out there in favor of the Cavs. We'll see what the story is with Donovan Mitchell tonight.
Real quick, just to finish up on that one, Gil. It's the series price? I might have to get involved at a gross number. Like, I think this is over. It's 3-1. I think this is over. I do not think Cavs are winning three straight games, and I only got to lay minus 330.
Yeah, this is the one, again, where I got in on the Pacers after game one.
Good on you.
Pacers and Nuggets, I should point out, both after game ones, because I was like, look, the train left the station. I had a hunch about both of them. I hated myself for not betting them pre-flop, but I wasn't going to let it go past game one. So the Pacers one looks great now. I got like plus 191 or something like that on that. But minus 330, you want to play that now?
Like, I might get involved today.
Okay.
Yeah. I was shocked when I saw that number last night.
Well, as far as tonight's games are concerned, doubleheader tonight. These are game fours now. Celtics and Knicks back at MSG after the Celtics just rolled over the Knicks in game three to get off the schneid. The Knicks are up 2-1 in this series. The Celtics are $3 favorites, though, down a game in this series. The Celtics are 6.5 point favorites, or 6 points, depending on where you are right now, in tonight's game at New York. I think I want to take the points with the Knicks.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I think I'm staying away from the side tonight. Would be looking total. I think you can look unders in this series are the way that I'm looking right now. But saw the Celtics team look a little bit more like themselves finally on Saturday. That was expected. I think the one thing, though, I don't mind your Knicks play at all, because I don't think we've seen the best of the Knicks yet by far. Even in the games that they won, that was not the best New York Knicks performances, at least from an offensive standpoint, that I'd expect to see at some point in this series. So I don't hate it. I did bet the Celtics on Saturday. I'm going to be staying away from this one, though.
And then the T-Wolves and the Warriors, game four tonight back at Chase Center in San Francisco, with the T-Wolves up 2-1. Sort of felt like, again, no Steph in game two, no Steph in game three. Sort of felt like game three was the one that the Warriors had a chance to steal and they didn't. And now the T-Wolves 5-point favorites tonight. Total is at 200. This is one I can't play at all, because I could see it going either way.
I made a small bet on Minnesota at 5. No. I think you just said it well. I think it's look, I'm not counting Golden State out yet. We talked about this last week. I think you could easily see them win a game. But, man, the production that they got out of Kuminga 2 games in a row now. And then Jimmy Butler kind of had one of his Jimmy Butler playoff games, and it's still not good enough.
And yet still.
Yeah. It's still not good enough. So, with no Steph, I'll lay 5 with Minnesota tonight.
Again, if the Dubs can steal one here, theoretically, we don't know for sure, but theoretically, they would get Steph back for game 6. So you'd extend it long enough where we would see Steph again. Even that is in doubt, but at least that's the working theory. We'll come back. May wins update in Major League Baseball, and the NBA draft lottery is tonight. We dive in next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Smarter bets start here and last all year long with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, we're slashing the price of our annual subscription, normally $240, now just $199.
And when you sign up
today, we'll throw in 2 extra months for free. That's 14 months, I did the math, of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code PRO. Get 14 months of access to our daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, exclusive splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 live video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all our special edition betting guides. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. Use promo code PRO to lock in 14 months of VSiN Pro for just $199. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it. This is from Duke of the South. It feels like the Pacers are shooting 90% from the field. I feel like everything is dropping, and I love it. By the way, I had that feeling whenever I had an under in this series, which I did in both games 1 and 2. That's exactly how I felt. I'm like, do these teams miss?
It is. Yeah. I've had some of the unders have not been fun to live through.
It reminds me
of the NBA.
Reminds me of the Crying Kenny story, where he had the Crying Kenny, famously one of the Chrissy Andrews' greatest stories about shooting the TV screen back in the day in Vegas. One of the lesser known but great Crying Kenny stories. Crying Kenny was this sports bettor that used to exist here in Vegas in the 80s. He had a bet in a Seattle Sonics game. He had an under, and they didn't score. No, neither team scored for like the first 4 minutes of the game. And then downtown Freddie Brown of the Sonics gets fouled and puts up the circus shot that goes in, and Crying Kenny's like, are they going to make everything in this game? Sports bettors are the best.
Worst.
Rick Ollier, teams have to start emulating the Pacers. No team can play at this pace every other night. The Cavs look gassed. I'm with you. If you're banged up, if you're tired, good God, it's not the team you want to play.
I think it is. It is a very unique aspect to that team. But right now, I mean, you compare them to almost how every other team looks in the league, right? I mean, it's a war between the Thunder and the Nuggets right now on the defensive side. Those guys the Nuggets players look exhausted by the end of every one of these games.
OPS Plus is for commies. That's his name of his handle. That's not what I'm saying. He says USA minus a goal and a half plus 136 IHF World Championship. Puck drops in 15. Thank you for that.
The International Hockey Federation, I'm going to go with, Gil.
Ben, I think you're right. Ben Handorf, I've swilled some Palo before. Gil wouldn't recommend it. I messed up Pill to Swallow. He's making fun of me. Shrek McPhee, still holding Andreeva 11-1 here in Rome. I sure hope you're right about Sabalenka going down this afternoon. I'll leave Iga out of it for today. Oh, yeah, Iga. Let me tell you something. You know how you asked me that are we sure question on Friday?
She lost, right?
Now, well, here's the thing. Up until then, right, I could always say, well, slow Clay. She never loses early. Guess what? I can't say that anymore.
Yeah, you've backed off in the past week.
It's something.
And she lost in the second round. Is that what it was?
She lost in the second round to Danielle freaking Collins, who's supposed to be retired.
Yeah, when's that happening? I've been hearing about that for two years.
She's just collecting paychecks. Kevin Ryan, Gil, I agree the Cavs look cooked, but if I was to make a Pacers series bet, I won't wait until after the next game. I won't wait until after the next game as the Cavs should take game five. I think he means would wait. Yeah. Okay. NBA draft lottery is tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and I like nothing more than to discuss the NBA draft lottery, Kelly. Oh, I love it so.
It's been a thing of yours for years.
Yep. I love it. Listen, I don't know why it's on a Monday night. Have they ever done it on a Monday night before?
I don't know, but mainly I'm upset about we're getting the game times moved back 30 minutes. I liked the 4 and 6:30 for us here on the West Coast.
Well, so here's a lead in, ladies and gentlemen, a little story time. So the National Basketball Association, Kelly, I don't know if you know this, but the Houston Rockets in the early 80s, they drafted Ralph Sampson first in the 1983 draft. They were the worst team. They drafted the prize was Ralph Sampson. And they still sucked in that 83-84 season. And at some point during that season, they decided, hey, why don't we play a bunch of young guys and an aging Elvin Hayes, and we'll lose as many games as humanly possible, and we'll get a chance to draft Akeem Olajuwon out of Houston first after this season, too.
That was a good idea.
And by the way, that was the same draft that one Michael Jeffrey Jordan existed in, too. But the real prize, per the Rockets, was Olajuwon, and per most teams was. By the way, the Portland Trailblazers famously took Sam Bowie second. Only then did the Bulls take Michael Jeffrey Jordan third. Anyway, so the Rockets tanked the 83-84 season, and they do end up drafting Olajuwon. And so they had these twin towers. By the way, they got to the NBA Finals with both of them. Of course, a decade later, they would win a couple titles with Olajuwon. So tanking works, typically. Again, unless you're the Cleveland Cavaliers and you end up with, like, Anthony Bennett or whatever with the number one pick.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, it doesn't always work out now in this day and age. But back then, tanking was a thing. And if you had the worst record, you got the number one pick. So after the Rockets did that and got Akeem Olajuwon, the NBA said, hey, we can't have this. This league, we can't have this in this league. So we got to put in something called a draft lottery. And so they did. And famously, it started in 1985. There's the whole conspiracy theory about David Stern with the envelopes, making sure that the New York Knicks got the number one pick and therefore the prize of that year, Patrick Ewing. Imagine this was like dream teamers back to back with Olajuwon and Ewing. But what ended up happening in that draft, conspiracy or not, I'll let you debate that, is that the Golden State Warriors were the team that actually had the worst record, and they got knocked all the way back to the seventh pick. By the way, they ended up picking a dream teamer in Chris Mullin with the seventh pick. They drafted really well. But because they fell all the way from first to seventh, the NBA said, oh, that's not fair either. Like, we can't have the worst team fall that far. The Golden State Warriors of 1985 will always be known as the team that dropped the furthest because of an NBA draft lottery. So they put in guardrails to make sure that didn't happen again. And they've tried all these different things over the years. The most recent was after the 2018 season, when before that, the worst team got 25% of the ping pong balls of the lottery. If you remember, if you've listened to a numbers game long enough, we did something called Tankapalooza the year prior, where all these teams were openly tanking to get the 25% ping pong balls. You couldn't be insured the number one pick, right? But you could be insured the most ping pong balls of 25% by margin. And so the Phoenix Suns famously won that Tankapalooza. They lost their last 27 games of that season playing against other non-tanking teams. It's true. They did. Look it up. 0-27 down the stretch. Devin Booker would have this mysterious hand injury. Anyway, the prize was DeAndre Ayton. Say what you will, that might not be Olajuwon or Sampson or Ewing, but it did get the Suns to an NBA Finals in 2021. So even that, like, did reap that reward. Got him close. Got him two games away from winning the championship. He was a key cog in that week.
I mean, anyway. even 2 years ago, you saw the Mavericks do it down the stretch.
Well, the thing about it, in 2018, when we were doing Tankapalooza, Brent Musbury, he said, oh, lad, teams aren't tanking. That can't be a thing. I told him, I said, it's not the players. It's the roster construction and who they have on the court in the most important times of game. Took incoming from other Visa notes. What's Gil doing? Moneyline parlays? No, because there was a reason. Tanking was actually happening. So the NBA, that was the last time. They're like, look, the three worst teams now will get 14% of the ping pong balls each. You can't fall further than fourth if you're the worst team, okay? So those are the guardrails that are up. And so this year we have the Jazz, Wizards, and Hornets, the three worst teams with 17, 18, and 19 wins respectively, each with 14% chance to get the number one pick. They will have 14% of the ping pong balls. Now, the process on this, Kelly, because I know you love ping pong ball dynamics.
Yes.
I know that's your thing. The drawing process actually occurs. What we get to see is just the reveal. The real lottery takes place in a room that we don't get to see with, like, Ernst & Young accountants. And what they will do is they will have 14 ping pong balls, each numbered 1 through 14, dropped in a lottery machine. But before the lottery, 1,000 of a possible 1,001 combinations are assigned to the 14 participating lottery teams. So one of them, 11, 12, 13, 14, gets thrown out. And by the way, if that came up in the actual, you know, producing of the lottery balls, they would just throw it out and do it again. So 140 of the 1,000 go to the Jazz, 140 of the possible combinations go to the Wizards, 140 of the possible combinations go to the Hornets, and so on and so forth down the line. And we show, if we can show that graphic again, these are the percentages. Then the Pelicans get 12.5% of the ping pong balls, right? They would get, 125 of the ping pong ball combinations. The Sixers will get, 10.5%, Nets 9%, all the way down to the Hawks, courtesy of the Kings. They will get 0.7% of the remaining ping pong balls. Or actually, that's the Kings pick now, courtesy of the Hawks, other way around. So that's the deal. The prize is Cooper Flagg, but it's an interesting lottery because there's going to be three Duke players, probably, right? Flagg, Con Knepel and Malowach. They're all going to be in there. The two kids from Rutgers are going to be there, right? Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey Jr. And by the way, beyond the lottery, it's a fascinating draft because guys that you know from just watching the tournament, Kelly, Jani Broom, Walter Clayton Jr., guys like that are going to be in it. Great Israeli player coming out.
Baylor kid.
Danny Wolf from Michigan is going to be in there as well. So anyway, the lottery is such. The point of all of this is to say, Derek Queen, our guy from Maryland, the point of this is to say, if you are betting on this, because at a place like FanDuel, you can actually bet on this. Please know that in normal opinion-based betting, we all have opinions, maybe you have a model, maybe you don't, you're just sort of playing what you perceive your edge to be. There's no perception here. These are actual fixed odds. So when you seem to be drawn as the number one pick, when you see Jazz plus 550, Wizards plus 550, Hornets plus 550, please know that what it should be is plus 615. The Pelicans at 6-1 should be plus 733. The Sixers, who are at plus 750, that should be plus 876. Brooklyn, right? Plus 850, that should be plus 1011. Over 10-1 odds. Know you're getting the worst of it and don't bet it, please. Or at least know you're getting hoodwinked.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Check out thesharpplays.com. Unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. That is sharpplays.com. We invite you to check it out. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. I hope everybody got what I was just saying before the break. Again, if you want to bet these shops that have NBA draft lottery props up, no one's going to stop you. It's a free country. You're able to do what you want to do. If you want action, you want action. But just know that this is one of these rare things in sports betting, right, where we know mathematically what the odds are. There is no handicapping, right? We know based on the math of the ping pong balls what the actual odds are for teams to get the number one pick. And so, again, let me just do it from the bottom this time just to illustrate it. The Sacramento Kings have a 0.8% chance of getting the number one pick in the draft. 0.8% chance, right? You are getting, what's the number they're giving you on the Kings to get the number one pick? We don't have that graphic up right now. But the number you're getting is far short of the number what you should actually be getting, right? So the Kings, we don't have the Kings listed there. We don't even have
longer than 21.
Yeah, but what you should be getting, right, in a perfect world would be 124-1. You're not getting anywhere close to that. That's the point. All of these, you are getting less bang for your buck than mathematically you ought to be. So again, if you want action and you're just doing it for giggles and knock yourself out, but just know that you are, again, by definition, getting the worst of it.
Yeah, the simple comparison, I'm trying to pull up the Kings number, 89-1 is what you're getting on the Kings. I mean, like, the simple comparison is if you're betting the coin toss in the Super Bowl, yep, right? And you're laying minus 103 or whatever.
Different way of saying it.
Yeah, you're paying to play in this.
Right. But that's the thing, though. It's like, you know, and normally on a given night, like, hey, do you like the Celtics tonight or you like the Knicks? Well, those are just opinions.
Right.
Right? No one knows anything for certain. Let's talk some more NBA beyond the draft lottery. By the way, the NBA draft itself, I should note, June 25th. We have to wait all the way till the end of the postseason for the NBA draft. The NBA draft itself, June 25th. Carl Sack joins us now. You may know him from his days as NBA guru over there with Dr. Bob. Now, of course, at Killer Sports and KillerCappers.com. He joins us now from outside of Denver, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Carl?
I'm doing well, Gil. How are you?
Doing very well. What about these two games tonight? We have a couple game fours. The Knicks up 2-1 against the Celtics. They are 6-point dogs today at home after the Celtics crushed them. Call it 6.5-point dogs after the Celtics crushed them in game three. Celtics finally had some threes drop. And then game four tonight back in San Francisco with the Warriors again, Stephless. Felt like I mentioned earlier that game three was probably the one they were going to steal if they had a chance. I don't know. They're 5.5-point dogs. Still got to steal one to try to get Steph back in uniform in a game. What do you think about both of these tonight?
I'd like to see Golden State get this game just to really make this a series. It's unfortunate that Steph's got that hamstring injury. Similar to yourself, I am a bit of a Golden State fan, and I would like to see them. I would like to see them advance. From a handicapping perspective, I think the best bet on the board tonight is probably the Boston Knicks under. We know the Cat's got that injury on his thumb of the shooting hand. We know that Porzingis has not been 100% for sure. This series has been the slowest series in the second round by far, even slower than the OKC series. And it, during regulation, I mean, these three games have averaged like what, 196, I think, in regulation. And they're only getting more and more familiar with each other. These are division teams. I would expect this game to go under the total. I wouldn't expect Boston to shoot 50% from 3-point again like they did in last game. And I think it's going to come down to the wire probably.
Yeah, we've had, what have we had in this series? 213, 181, and 207 in this series.
And the 213 was an overtime game that, yeah, I think was 100-100 at the end of regulation.
That's correct. It was. Okay, so best bet on the board is the under. We're showing 208 on the screen. We showed a 208, but I see some 209s out there under on the Celtics-Knicks, the first of the two games tonight. What about tomorrow? Pacers-Cavs, a potential closeout of the 64-win Cleveland Cavaliers, 64 wins in the regular season. They are 7.5-point favorites. The total is 230, which is about where it's been the entire series. We don't know about Donovan Mitchell. Because of that, does that make it just by definition a stay away?
For me, not necessarily. It's tough because you kind of figured, well, I mean, game three, obviously Cleveland's season was on the line. You could argue the same with game four. Obviously in game five, their season is definitively on the line. If I had to go anywhere, I would go Cleveland in game five. Indy's got some breathing room here. They know they've got another home game. They could theoretically just punt in this game if they get down a bunch. Not that they have, you know, they get down. Seems like they get down, other than last game, they get down 20 in every game and then make a game of it. But I think this is kind of a bounce back. You know, Cleveland was completely embarrassed, and I know that they're banged up. You know, it's beyond just Mitchell. Garland's still dealing with a toe issue. Hunter's he dislocated his thumb on his shooting hand. Mobley's, you know, still dealing with an ankle issue. So they're not 100% across the board. But, I tend to look more at who's really needing the game more. And for me, it's by far Cleveland. So I would lean towards Cleveland here.
Other game five, I should say, is tomorrow night. between the Nuggets and the Thunder. That one knotted up at two games apiece after the Thunder figured out a way yesterday. They were down early in the fourth quarter by eight. They came back. They win this game. They hold off the Nuggets. Don't cover, but win it. They are now 10-point favorites in game five. Totals 221. Where do you stand on this series and in this game?
Power ratings would suggest that this line, the side here, is justified. I think Oklahoma City's plan, as we've seen, has been to try. They're playing deep, you know, they're playing 10 deep, whereas Denver really, really, truly, they're going like six. And so with this being an every other night series, couple games in altitude, I think Oklahoma City is just trying to outlast them. And we saw it in game four as the game, you know, they were down seven going into the fourth quarter and ended up coming back. You mentioned it earlier, the missed free throws by Denver. They were definitely tired at the end of that game. And I think if I had to go anywhere in that game, it would probably be under the total. We've seen these last two games go significantly under the total, and I don't see a reason to divert from that. I know the first two games were high scoring. The second game you just throw out, really. That was a, you know, punt game on Denver's side, but yeah, I think if you're going anywhere, you're probably going under the total. These two teams are, again, they're getting more and more familiar with each other. And I think that Oklahoma City matches up well with Denver, having Hartenstein and Holmgren down in the middle. They don't have to, you know, they brought help at times, but they don't have to against Joker. And you've seen it with him. I think I saw a stat yesterday that this is the first time in his career that he's shot, you know, below like 35% or something from the field in three straight games. So, you know, whether it's a potential elbow injury that they're not publicizing or what is going on with Joker, he's looked off.
Yeah. Can we also, this has nothing to do with anything. Can we get Mark Jones off of the Nuggets and Thunder,
though? Oh, gosh. Yeah. I'm with you.
the number of subtle shots he seems to take at Jokic is just absolutely ridiculous. While SGA is having just as bad of a shooting night the previous game, not this last one, he's just murdering Jokic the whole time, and you're like, what are you doing?
There is, I mean, Carl, going forward, if the Thunder get past this the Nuggets here, has this series shown you enough concerns about this Thunder team about winning an NBA championship if they can get past the Nuggets?
I think so. I mean, Denver is really, you know, they are very experienced, and you know, the games that they're winning, you know, by a hair. But I do think it reminds us that this Oklahoma City team does not have, outside of Caruso, they don't have experience. None of these guys have been past the second round. So, you know, when it comes down to crunch time, if they're playing Minnesota or Golden State or, you know, even in the finals, a Boston team, you know, that's been there and done that, there's definitely going to be concerns.
It also just reminds me of what I've been saying for years, and the Heat from a couple years ago was the biggest example of this. I just think the NBA, 82 games of load management, it's the biggest difference between regular season and postseason, where the rotations shrink also. You agree with that, Carl, just a yes or no? That I'm on to something?
I do agree with that.
Yeah. It's just a different animal, and I wonder if the Hardos are almost at a disadvantage having watched an 82-game schedule. Carl, thank you so much. Good luck. Under tonight,
have a
Boston
great day, guys.
And the Knicks. We'll come back. Baseball with Paul Spohr next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Bet the Preakness Stakes with First Bet. Get rewarded. New customers can use promo code VSiN200 to score 20% rebate on all wagers for the first 60 days. That's the first 60 days, up to $200. That's win or lose, you get paid back. Download the First Bet app or visit first.com/bet. Use promo code VSiN200 to get started today. That's first.com/bet. First with the number one. Promo code VSIN200. Preakness this week.
Huge sports week.
Yeah, the Preakness. We got PGA the PGA Championship.
NBA and NHL playoffs obviously going
country
on.
Country clubbing, man.
Huge sports week.
Love it. Such an underrated time of year, right? We always talk about football king, and football is king. And we talk about March Madness, but this is a this is an underrated time. Speaking of football, by the way, in case you missed it, we did get a we're going to have the NFL schedule will be out in 2 days. It will be out on Wednesday in full. Remember, this was the thing that they made an announcement on during the NFL draft. Remember, they had Laura Rutledge out there and Colleen Wolf.
Yeah.
So they made an announcement about the announcement. And so they're leaking stuff. We found out the Dolphins and Commanders are playing in Madrid one of these games this year, which is kind of cool. All my Skins fans friends are like, "We going?" I'm like, "Well, you know, kind of working." So.
That would be a cool trip.
But then we heard about opening day, the first game of the season, announced this morning. The leaks have begun, right? Philadelphia, the Eagles, and the Cowboys, Thursday, September 4th in Philly. Mike Tirico making the announcement this morning on the Today Show. You ever watch the Today Show anymore, Kelly? Are we in here the whole time?
Yeah, I think we're in here. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, there it is. And they there's a spread that has come out on this, which is hovering around 7. And our buddy Steve Fezzik, who loves betting NFL games months in advance with this stuff, he is absolutely on it, Kelly. He's looking for this. He said, NFL week one line is up. Apparently Dallas is at Philly. I believe DraftKings has the line Philly minus 7. I'm double checking, he says. FanDuel, or as he called it, Fando, had it minus 6.5, minus 115. But I believe money has just come on Philly. He says he bet the minus 6.5 on Philly. How about that?
Yeah, I was checking around.
Stevie got in on it.
Checking around during the break. We got a couple shops here in Vegas with it posted. Caesars is at 7. Boyd, which basically copies FanDuel's lines, is 6.5 at 120.
Okay.
So, can get involved if you're here in Vegas.
There you go. If you have schedule fever, catch it. It's coming.
This is what happened last year, though, too, right? Like, we had this scheduled date of when the schedule was going to come out, but then all the networks start releasing stuff at a time. Yeah. So I think over the next couple of days, you're going to hear a bunch of this.
Here's the updated, and we'll bring in Paul Spohr for this. Paul Spohr joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line from Austin, Texas, with his dog, Charlotte, no doubt, lurking. Paul is at Fangraphs, Sleeper of the Bus podcast. How you doing, Paulie? Oh,
she is lurking back there. She's she's a little under the weather, so
she always is.
She's taking some steroids. She's out of the Hall of Fame.
Okay,
her Hall of Fame potential is trash. She's openly taking steroids.
Remember,
unapologetically, I might add.
We always refer to the her accident as the incident on this show.
If things go south here, it could happen again today.
Here is the May most wins update. Remember, we are on the Padres at 25-1. The Padres, after beating the Rockies by 3 touchdowns on Saturday, 21-0, they lose. It looked like they were double parked outside yesterday. They just wanted to be out of Denver. So it's such an odd game. That game actually puts us behind one game behind the pace that I believe was necessary for them or handicap them to wins. I had them going 20-6. This month. This makes it sort of like a 19-7 proposition. I still think they're the favorite here, but the Padres right now are in 6th place. They're 6-3. Remember, I did it at Circa, where there's tiebreakers, fewest losses, and run differential. That plays into why I still think they're the favorite. The Twins are trolling me, Kelly.
Yeah, I was just going to say, there's those Twins
completely.
At the top.
So I had the Mets race to 10
oh, man.
The first month. They end up winning March, April. I had the Twins March, April. They're leading May.
I don't mean to laugh at you, but it's funny.
It's ridiculous. Now, I don't think they'll get there, nor do I think the Cardinals will at 8-2. The Cardinals' schedule is tough. Royals at 8-3. Your Tigers, Paulie, and the Phillies both at 7-3. By the way, the Tigers with the best run differential currently this month. And then the Padres at 6-3. Padres have a 3-game set at home. Padres go home finally this month. So the Padres have 11 games left at home, 6 on the road. Remember, they're 14-4 thus far this year at Petco. So Padres looking to go into the friendly confines. It's King against Kikuchi against the Angels. 3-game set against the Angels. Let's win them all, baby. Let's win them all. And by the way, the other team not listed here, and these good on DraftKings for keeping these up mid-month, right? So the other team not listed, remember when I picked the Padres, I had 4 other options that I considered. One was the Tigers, one was the Phillies, one was the Giants, the other was the Cubs. The Cubs were the favorite pre-flop and all this. Cubs have the easiest schedule moving forward, not pictured. So they're lurking as well. But right now it's the Twins and the Cardinals with a with the edge over the field. Come on, Padres.
Crazy, crazy potential run here for the Cubs. They could feasibly reel off 9 in a row. They go Miami, White Sox at Miami for the next 9. Then they go to Cincy. That's not nothing. And then I don't know if this Colorado series is the end of the, I think this would still be here in May. So yeah, the schedule is really nice for the Cubs. Problem is though, of course, they've lost their two big lefties, Steele and Imanaga. So yes. They're pitching, you know, I know some things have been going well. Like Colin Ray's been pitching well. He gets both Miami and the White Sox this week. That's been nice. Cade Horton came up and debuted. But their pitching's a little suspect. So that's a good schedule for the Cubs, but I don't think it's a guarantee because of that starting pitching. I'd still be careful with them.
What's the team on your radar now, either to the good or bad, that you have noticed? I'll just leave this as a broad open question where you're like, okay, I didn't see this coming.
That's a good question. I think Seattle with especially being led by hitting right now, you know, Kirby's working his way back, which remember how BS that time frame was. It was not supposed to be what's going to end up being about 2 months there. Never listen to the timelines that the teams and the players give. They're always BS. But they're hitting the Mariners. Seattle's hitting. And it isn't just Polanco, right? Like, obviously, he's been doing crazy things that have really set the bar at a particular level there for Seattle. But even if you look beyond Polanco, they've got some other hitting up and down that lineup. They're hitting righties very well. That has been a huge surprise. And look, I suspected that Baltimore's pitching would be pretty rough. And then, you know, you throw in some injuries along with it. Eflin just returned yesterday and it's terrible. I think they might be cooked. I know it's early. It's May 12th here, but they're dead last by a decent bit. How are they getting back in with this pitching? So I am a bit surprised there, even though I knew that that was a flaw of Baltimore. I criticized their management all offseason for not addressing the pitching well enough. Though in fairness, I did say, you know, they need to sign Burns. And it's not like he looks like super ace or anything like that. But they clearly just didn't do enough. Even if you give him a healthy Grayson Rodriguez, I don't think that alone would flip it. I think they're done. I know it's early and I'm always cautious about doing that. I think Baltimore's done.
And I won't belabor it because I've said it a few times already on the show. This is why you go for it at the deadline when you have a chance, yep. For God's sakes.
Yep.
Don't know why I said
future's
it
like, not guaranteed.
Yeah. Don't know why I said it like Regis Philbin, but anyway. White Sox won 41 games last year. They won 41.
Yes.
The Rockies, I don't know if you've noticed this, Paul. They suck. That's my technical term. Out loud, despite their win yesterday. They've won 7 so far. They're 7-33. If I asked you to make a line right now, will the Rockies exceed the White Sox 41 wins? Would they be a favorite? Would they be a dog? And if so, would they be a slight favorite or dog or a big favorite or dog?
Still a decent favorite for me. And I know they're on pace for 28. But we see these paces a lot in May, and they don't usually hold. Now, the confirmation bias and recency bias, I think, would actually be the better term here. The recency bias of Chicago just doing it could lead to some rough bets. I could see some people thinking, well, we just saw it last year. We're going to see it broken again this year. Maybe, but I don't think so. And it's not that I think the Rockies are like a sleeper, decent team. They're terrible. Again, they stink out loud. Like, their smell is so bad, there's a sound to it. But I still think, like, with that park, with their kind of like baseline talent that they have, that they're still going to crawl their way into the 50s or even the high 40s, which is still wretched, right? I can't get there. We've seen too many teams start at levels like this and regress to where they're quote unquote supposed to be, meaning into the 50s, 60s win territory. White Sox didn't last year. I don't think that means that Colorado's just going to go ahead and break their record the following year.
Give me a DFS sleeper tonight before we leave.
A sleeper for tonight. That's a good one here. We pull up. I have 18 billion tabs open right now, so I'm finding my sheet, but I got it. I'll give you Ryan Gusto for the Houston Astros. He's unfortunately filling in for Hayden Wesneski. I say unfortunately because I really love Hayden Wesneski, who's the name I probably would have given otherwise. But Gusto's a young pitcher that they put back in the rotation here. They might not miss a beat with the Wesneski injury. So for Houston's overall purposes, it might not be too bad.
Okay.
Because Gusto comes out of the bullpen. I like him against the Royals.
Paul, thank you as always. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Wes Reynolds, golf and basketball next.